Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 331 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyree, your host once again. And today my guest is Tom Kulzer. Tom is the founder and creator and CEO of AWeber, which is one of the leading email marketing platforms in the industry. Full disclosure, I am an email, AWeber client. I have used AWeber exclusively as my email platform for long before I started The Law Entrepreneur. And just again, full disclosure, no affiliate relationship, no financial interest in this interview. I just think that their platform is the best for email marketing. And then there's others out there, big names that do very similar things in similar ways. So we're not going to talk about the features of the platform, but we're going to talk about email marketing and how that continues to be the primary or one of the primary form of digital marketing that continues today, even though, you know, we all hate getting email spam. And when you think of email marketing, it's that fine line, that balance between email spam and marketing. So Tom and I spent a lot of time talking about that and how you can improve your email marketing system and maybe a brief glimpse as to what the future may provide. So without any further delay, here is Tom Kulzer. Tom Kulzer, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Thanks for having me, Neil. Glad to be here.
Well, I'm thrilled to have you with us today, Tom, and we'll get into exactly why I'm so thrilled in a moment. But in the meantime, go ahead and tell our audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today.
Sure. So I'm the CEO and founder of AWeber. We manage email marketing automation for small businesses and creators around the world. I started that 24 years ago, and we currently have, about 450,000 users around the world. And we send billions of permission-based emails every month to subscribers that have subscribed to all of our customers' different lists. So We play in that market a lot.
I just want to get out of the way straight off the top that I am a very happy and enthusiastic client of AWeber's. It was the first and only email marketing platform that I ever used. I became a member way before even starting this podcast. So I feel like I'm interviewing an old friend here because even though, much to my chagrin, and I'm not even following my own advice that I give on this podcast, I bet I use a woefully small amount of the features of AWeber. It still does for me what I want it to do and need it to do. And I'm, again, like I said, very happy user. There's no compensation for this interview. I'm just delighted to have you with us here today, Tom.
Yeah,
and I'm going to tell you all the really great stuff that I like about your company. So you'll be able to take that back for whatever that's worth. But anyway, let's talk about email marketing. You know, the digital marketing space is fraught with platforms and approaches that have come and gone, but email remains. Email continues to be, if not the biggest, certainly one of the very strongest platforms for getting the message out and brand awareness and creating business in the digital space.
Why do you think that's the case?
Well, it certainly helps that all of the social platforms, your Facebook and Twitters and Instagrams and, you know, of the world, they're all some of the highest, you know, most voluminous email senders on the planet. When you look at the top directories of who sends the most emails, those platforms send a tremendous amount of email. And it's because it works. Like, it's a direct connection to your users. There's no algorithms there that are deciding whether or not you're going to show up in your feed. It's when I send an email, it shows up in your inbox. And email is very personal because, you know, everyone's got a box. And you look at all of the messages that are there. You look at them when you're laying in bed. You look at them when you're on the toilet. Some people, you know, you look at them when you're sitting at, you know, your computer at work. And it's just, it's with us every day. And it's many, many people have predicted its imminent death. And somehow every year there's more emails with, you know, great responses and engagement with users that get sent out. Done right, it's just the absolute best way to connect with your users around the world.
And while we've seen that email as a communication medium is to some degree being replaced as the communication tool of choice within businesses and between businesses or between employees or between people, I mean, I'm thinking of the rise of platforms like Slack and others that allow for different forms of communication rather than the standard email model. From a marketing perspective, from a content marketing standpoint, email continues to dominate the landscape.
Absolutely. Yeah. And even things like Slack, they send you lots of emails to let you know what you missed.
Right.
You know, it's email is like the best, you know, we're all remote these days. And, you know, email is the best asynchronous communication platform that there is out there. Like, I can send it and you'll get it and you'll get back to me on your time when it's good for you versus something like a text message that has an immediacy impact of, I don't know about you, but if somebody sends me a text message, if I don't read it and reply to it right then, like, I forget that I need to go back to it. Because just the mental model around how those platforms work is very different. Similarly with Slack, we use Slack extensively internally at AWeber, but like, it's good for certain types of collaboration and other types of collaboration are much better via email. So it just depends on the use case.
And it's one of those balancing acts, to be sure, because when you ask people what's the bane of their existence in the digital world, they're going to say, spam email. I spend a lot of time trying to manage my inbox so I'm not inundated with, you know, emails either that I don't want or that I'm receiving too frequently. And Absolutely. So it's a very fine balancing act that we do with an email marketing platform like AWeber.
Yeah, and that just comes down to, you know, what I always say to users when they're like, what do I send out to my subscribers? It's like, well, what would you want to receive in your inbox? Like, behave how you would want to receive and engage with messages. Write your message to one person, not 1,000 people at the time. Like, engage like you're direct, you know, you're directly emailing me or yourself, you know, somebody else that you know. And just that level of engagement is much better than the kind of, I think, brochureware that a lot of people send via email that just gets really terrible engagement. And when I talk about engagement, I mean like somebody opening and reading the email and clicking on the links that are in there and going off and doing something as a result of receiving that email.
Yeah. And when we talk about our assets in the digital marketing space or you know, things that we can take control of, your email list is one of the most tangible and valuable in the long run assets that you can, as an attorney,
Absolutely.
Can have. Because, look, it, you could have a really robust, and this is not to disparage any other platform, but you can have a really robust Facebook group or a well-received and read and interacted with LinkedIn profile, but you don't own those. I mean, you own some of the content on it, but you can't turn that around and do anything really with it other than use the platform as it's designed to be used.
Yeah. Whereas you're there on those platforms at the privilege of those platforms. If LinkedIn decides They don't want you on your platform anymore. You're not there anymore, and you can't take that audience with you and you know, contact them from some other mechanism.
100%.
Whereas email, like if we turned off your AWeber account, you have your email list and you can take that to another platform and continue to communicate with those recipients.
For sure. So it's a very valuable list. And the other thing that I think we fail to recognize oftentimes is that with some of these other platforms, you can segment that audience with a fair amount of granularity, but you're segmenting the audience based on the platform's criteria or option. Whereas with your own email list, you can segment that list any way, shape, or form you can damn near think of. And that segmentation, I think is underemphasized by a lot of marketing gurus. They think of the email list as just being a homogenous one, you know, single list that you send everything to everybody. And that's not where the power of the email marketing campaign lies, in my humble opinion.
Absolutely. Yeah. Segmentation is hugely powerful. It all comes down to sending relevant content. You know, I often use the example of like a dog shelter, like if a shelter, an animal shelter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you sign up to receive emails from them about pets that you'd like to adopt, you want to adopt a dog. So if the shelter is only sending you pictures and listings for cats, you're not going to be engaging in their emails. Whereas if you can express a preference when you sign up to say, I'm interested in the emails about dogs, then the shelter can segment you and specifically only send you the emails that contain dogs. And better yet, like from an emails perspective, you can use dynamic email where you can actually, the shelter could send one email that has dogs and cats mixed in and specifically show just the cats to the people that are interested in cats and just the dogs to people that are interested in dogs.
Yeah, that's a fairly recent capability, is it not, to have, you know, dynamically displayed content?
No, not super recent. Probably you've been able to do that to some extent for, I don't know, probably 5-6 years now or more.
All right.
So I've been doing this 24 years now. So recent always. How long is recent?
Well, that's fair. Well, I wanted to kind of, spend a little time talking about, it's very, very seldom that we get somebody who's been with a platform as long as you have. The creator, and who's, when we say seen it all, we literally mean seen it all.
Oh, so, I still get surprised occasionally.
But I wonder if you could spend a couple of minutes just talking about how email marketing has evolved over the years. I mean, originally it was literally just, I got a list, I'm going to blast my email out to that list. And now it's far from that. It's much more robust and has a great deal more capabilities. I wonder if, like, in your observation, what are some of the bigger milestones along the evolution of email content marketing?
Yeah, I think, when I first started, it was, you wrote your subject line and your message was plain text. And when I mean plain text, I mean no bold, no italics, no underline, no nothing.
Sure.
And that's what email was back in 98 when I started AWeber. Over time, HTML email kind of came out. And that's where you can include pictures and bolding and other things. You get the nice formatted. It looks more like a website at times, depending on what the structure of your messages are. So that's probably one of the biggest first iterations and changes. From there, there's things kind of marketing automation type things where you can start to segment your lists more and segment people based on their interest, do things based on what they've clicked on and what they haven't clicked on to follow up with them additionally. So that level of segmentation has been, more recent, but still been around for
a while,
5-10, plus years in its sophisticated forms. And, I think from there, the other iterations, there's kind of the like send side iterations where it's like you're sending out your newsletters, but there's also the receiving side iterations and technology leaps that have happened with regards to spam filtering and engagement. You know, email these days, everyone's definition of what spam is different. You know, in the legal world, it's one thing. In the like end user, the way that I define spam is emails that people don't want. Right. You know, and there's definitely a permission component of that. But even if someone has given you permission to send them emails, you might technically not be spam. But if you send them stuff that they don't like and they don't engage with, they're going to mark it as spam. And it's just the simple reality of how users manage their inboxes these days. So when you look at platforms like Google, Gmail, Microsoft, Yahoo, et cetera, the big ones that account for the bulk majority of most inboxes that you're emailing to, you know, they're making decisions on whether your emails are going to the inbox or spam folder based on each individual user's engagement with your emails, meaning are they opening them? Are they clicking on the links that are in there? Are they saving them to go back and look at them later? Are they saving them to a folder? Are they forwarding them? Are they replying to them? And all of those things feed their algorithms as to whether or not your messages are going to show up in that specific user's inbox versus whether or not they're going to start to put them in the spam folder. And Google's also looking at things like what percentage of your list is engaging with, you know, the emails that you're sending. So if, you know, you have really high engagement, that's great. Everyone's much more likely to go to your inbox versus if only, you know, 5 or 10% of your recipients are actually opening and engaging with your messages. Over time, that signals to mailbox providers that maybe these emails Neil is sending aren't actually wanted, and we should put the ones that are going to the inbox in people's spam folders and see what happens from there. So engagement is a really key component of making sure your emails continue to go to the spam folder, and have been, you know, it's the reason that those platforms are so good at filtering out the junk they're just looking at what people are actually doing and interacting with those messages. And at the individual level, you know, it's one thing, but when you've got the huge data sets that they're able to look at, it becomes very different. And those iterations have, definitely scaled over the years, and they're very good at what they do. And at the end of the day, like, they put the messages where they belong, whether you agree with it or not, they put the messages where they belong based on what your users are telling them.
Based on the data. Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, I just wish I could do the same thing with my physical mailbox.
You mean those flyers that don't even reach the end of the driveway? They go directly in the recycling bin.
I went to the mailbox this morning and it was stuffed to the gills. And when I sorted through it, I had one thing that I kept. The rest of the catalogs, which I blame completely on my wife, were just went straight to the trash. Yeah. Now I know that's keeping the post office busy and working. But I think that model is completely upside down, where we have to rely on junk mail to keep the post office afloat. And all along, you know, the service continues to deteriorate, and I'm off on the wrong soapbox. So let me come back to email. I know in my own experience, I'm kind of confounding, I think, to the platforms who are judging what I look at, because if I get routinely an email that's, you know, describing beachwear, whether I is permission based or not, I'm deleting it, marking it spam. And you might get the sense, like, I don't want to be bothered with email that have opportunities for me to buy things and products, placement, and that kind of stuff. But give me an email about guitar stuff every day from my favorite company, Stumat, and I will go through that, open that email, and I will look at everything. I'll click on it. I'm giving them all the data they need to know to keep sending me that stuff.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. So talk to me a little bit about email campaign, because I think that's one of the watershed moments in marketing, email content marketing, that have just made platforms like AWeber so valuable, particularly to attorneys. Talk to me about how campaigns generally work and how a user can take advantage of that feature.
Yeah, so campaigns are really, so think of setting up a series of messages that are kind of, I don't know if you've used the term evergreen content, but like content that just doesn't change from year to year. You can kind of write it once and it's kind of good forever, or at least for a long time. And campaigns are a way of, you know, when someone comes to your website and they sign up for your list to find out more information from you, they're usually starting at a certain knowledge level that if you had a regular newsletter, there's kind of already like an assumption that they've been around for a little while and they might know certain things. So campaigns are a great way of kind of welcoming someone in and giving them the background to be able to catch up on, hey, what's your greatest content that you've sent out? What are the most frequently asked questions when someone engages with your practice? You know, there's topic, you know, specific type stuff. So like with your practice and doing the estate planning, you know, there's specific questions that your new clients are probably always asking. So yep. Being able to send out a campaign and a series of messages and not just like, here's all my knowledge and you thump this big book on the, you know, on the desk or this, you know, 80 page long scrollable email that you scroll and scroll and scroll. You can kind of like, you know, drip it out to people over a period of days and weeks to kind of get them up to speed on what they need to know around your particular subject matter. So it's, you set those sequences up, you know, you put in some different intervals. So like the first message will go right away when someone signs up to help set expectations for how frequently they're going to get your emails and what, you know, what type of content you're going to send. And then it also, it allows them to recognize your brand and your practice in their inbox so that when you send future emails, they recognize those. But then you could set, say, like a 3-day follow-up. So 3 days later, they get another message, and maybe 4 days later, they get another message, and 7 days later, they get another message, whatever intervals work for you. And so you, it allows them to kind of, warm up on your practice and your subject matter so that they become better, more informed consumers and can ask better questions. And as simple as that all sounds, so many places just don't do this.
Oh, amen.
You know, and it, whether it's a legal thing or we work with a lot of like doctor's offices that have very specialized type practices where just setting expectations around like, hey, I'm going in for, you know, some sort of surgery, like, what should I expect? What do I bring on surgery day? Like, these are all things that rather than having to have your staff answer questions about, you can preemptively like, hey, I'm going to court. What do I need to bring with me? Like, how should I dress? Like, you know, the just standard things that we as experts can probably overlook, but can be like gold to your clients that may never have been in those, you know, situations before.
If you've been a listener of this podcast for any time, you know that I sing the praises of Ruby all the time because they're really responsible in my own practice for helping me grow my business, deliver personalized experience to my clients, you know, building customer loyalty, really, in terms of having a consistent front-facing office partner in Ruby, and allows me to stay connected anywhere, anytime to my business through their services. So I can't say enough about Ruby. I'm delighted to have them and continue to have them as a sponsor of this podcast.
As a law firm owner, you take responsibility for driving more revenue for your firm. But how much of that revenue ends up as bottom line profit? Ryan Kimmler, the net profit CFO, helps law firms drive more top-line revenue to bottom-line profit. His two game-changing tools are the scorecard, so you can actually know what your numbers are and can make informed decisions, and the action plan, so you know how to get your numbers where you want them to be and drive more net profit. To learn more about Ryan, check out episode 306 of The Law Entrepreneur, and you can get a free profit acceleration call by going to go.oncehub, that's O-N-C-E-H-U-B, go.oncehub.com/profit. I will also tell you, just as an aside, I am a client of Ryan's. I've been working with him for the past 6 months. Frankly, ever since he did that episode with me, I signed on with him to be a client, and I've been thrilled with the kind of information and insight he's been able to give me. So do yourself a favor, get that free call and check out Ryan Kimmler at netprofit.com.
So I use campaigns a lot for nurturing potential clients through the decision-making process in hopes that they will engage as a, as a paying client. And So each type of potential client is going to get a series of emails from us through our campaign. But we also have some decision points that branch off, that cause some conditional branching that allow us to tailor the ensuing messages more specifically to the needs of that client. So for instance, they call, we will ultimately determine whether they're more interested in doing an estate plan, writing their will or their trust, or whether they're more interested in having somebody assist them administer an estate, walk an estate through probate. Two different slices of the same apple, but now they're going to get different follow-on messages. They're going to get messages that are specific to their need.
Exactly.
We're going to keep drilling down into what problem they're specifically looking to address. And those messages, those emails are tailored to those specific problems. And pretty soon you have somebody thinking that they're actually getting to know you through this series of automated email messages. And it's just such a tremendously powerful tool.
Absolutely. And those are totally things that you can do both in an automated way. So like someone receives your first message, you can ask them which topic they're interested in. When they click on the link, that tags them in AWeber or whatever email tool you're using, so that the follow-up messages that they get from that point forward are specific to that interest. Mm-hmm. Or you can do it as, as an administrator of the account. You just go in and tag that subscriber with whatever interest category it was that they're interested in, and they'll automatically get the appropriate messages from there. So it's super powerful, and it makes your messages very personalized and relevant to them and much more likely to engage. One of the other great things that we see, clients, especially like professional, in the attorney business, is being able to send out kind of a question list of how to vet hiring that particular type of professional, because that's the list that they're going to take to the other two attorneys that they might have called at the same time and try to vet them out. And it's like, if you've already checked all those boxes and they go to somebody else and they can't check those boxes or don't have answers to those, it helps elevate your standing as an expert and someone that they can really rely on to educate them, but also do the right thing.
It comes from the perspective of value. You're providing value to that person who's engaging with your email. You're providing them a way of evaluating not just you, but your competitors.
Yeah.
And if you've done correctly, assuming that you are as good as you say you are, it's going to lead back to you in all hope, or we hope.
Absolutely.
So I want to talk about, I wasn't going to spend a lot of time talking about features of the platform, because people can find out about the features and all the things you can do. I want to talk about some of the big picture items. But having said that, I want to talk about two of the things that I like the very most about AWeber. And again, I have no relationship, no affiliation with the company. So this is honest feedback from a user who's spent a lot of time with the product. Your support system is off the charts phenomenal.
Awesome.
Okay. I worked with a lot of platforms and in different aspects of the legal space. The quality and the ease with which I can get help and support when I have a problem in AWeber is, I can't think of another company that I work with, another product that I work with that is as good. And so obviously that's an important element of your business. Tell me why that is so and what efforts you put into making sure that your support and help system is, you know, industry leading.
Yeah, it's, you know, at the end of the day, kind of our mission that we just always talk about is connecting people in remarkable ways. And, you know, we have many competitors that don't have phone support, don't have even live chat on their website. And, you know, sometimes you're even lucky if you get email support. And that's just the way that they've chosen to do business. For me and the clients that we work with, you know, a tool is only as valuable as you can make it do what you need it to do. And while we try really hard to make it super easy to use, like, you know, you're an attorney.
Yeah.
You're not a software expert. You're not a marketing expert. Like, that's why you hire experts. You know, you understand, you are a hired expert. You understand the concept of hiring experts. And what we really try to do is, you know, make sure that we're available, because that, you know, 3-minute long phone call could completely circumvent, you know, a really frustrating back and forth over multiple days via email, trying to troubleshoot a particular problem to get enough information from somebody to be able to understand what the core problem is, what they're trying to solve, and move forward from there. And, you know, I often kind of look at our support team as not like solving problems with the software, it's solving your business problems. And right. A big part of that is, you know, our team will always ask a lot of questions about why you're trying to do a certain thing, or like why you want to do certain, you know, which feature you're trying to use. And it's like, okay, I know you want to use that feature, but why are you using that feature? What is the business problem that you're trying to solve?
100%. I can attest to that. I've used them a more than one occasion where, after drilling down a little bit, and I am a techie. I mean, as the listeners here know, I spent 20 years building hardware and software systems. So I know a little bit about what I'm talking about, and still there have been more than one occasion where I've asked the support staff, you know, question how to do something specific and need to know right away. And they went, well, why are you trying to do, what are you trying, what problem are you trying to solve? And then they say, you're actually trying to, you know, kill a fly with a sledgehammer. There's a much easier way for you to do this. Have you thought about doing this? Went, oh.
Yeah.
No, I hadn't. And I will venture to say, frankly, that is unique in the tech world. Okay. Or in my experience is unique. Can't speak for everybody's. Because 99 times out of 100, you ask a specific question, you're going to get a specific answer, whether it's the right question for you to be asking or not.
Yep. And it's a balance, because some people get really frustrated by that. So, like, you know, there's kind of and most intelligence that you need to be able to kind of read the person that you're interacting with as to whether or not you can, you know, really dive into the problem that they're, you know, the reason why they're trying to solve a certain thing, or whether you just need to answer their questions.
Yeah. Well, and the flip side of that too is the support staff has to be conversant enough with your line of business to be able to make that connection. And I've felt that AWeber's understanding of the legal space, I don't know what percentage of your clients are attorneys or law firms, but it seems to me that they have a better than average understanding, and they're able to apply that expertise to real legal office law firm problems that we're trying to solve.
I appreciate it. You kind of, you know, angling it from that direction, but I wouldn't necessarily say that there's a specific legal understanding. I would just say that, like, the way that many businesses solve problems with email is very similar. Like,
well, yeah,
you know, and I'm sure you've seen this in like networking groups and so forth. Like, regardless of what the business is, we all have the same problems. Yeah. Usually, yeah. Well, the problems are very, very similar.
You're 100% correct. I mean, the people that think running a law firm is somehow unique from running any other business are the people that are, you know, limiting themselves. But I just feel like you guys make that connection better than most. So
I'll leave
it at that.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to talk about the other thing that I really, really like about the platform and ask your views about it, is the training material that you guys offer. See, I'm a visual learner. I don't want to pull out the manual. I don't want to go to the Wikipedia page thing. I don't really want to read all that much. I like to watch it. I like to see it happen. And the video library is just top notch. It's an education right there. And you have all these other courses that you offer as well that then go beyond just using the tool, but talk about literally email content marketing. And you can just learn an enormous amount from your newsletter. Yeah. And I just think that's just so valuable. It's been so important to me. It's from simple things of like how to write a headline.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, you know, we're not all experts in the marketing, and like really simple things can have big impacts on what you're doing. And it makes our tool more valuable at the end of the day. If we can teach you how to get better results with the tool, then you're going to be, you know, a better user. You're going to have better results in your business, and you're going to love us even more, hopefully, yeah, as a result of that. And it's, you know, for many, many, many years, we didn't even call our marketing team a marketing team. It was called the education team.
Yeah.
And it was specifically for exactly what you talk about is, you know, if we educate our users to be successful with it, they're much more likely to stick around in the long term than somebody that, you know, might think that they want to do email and then they don't do a couple of the like really basic things that are more likely to have them see success, and then they fall off. So, you know, we look at it as it's a really good investment, and it's also just the right thing to do. And, you know, so we spend a considerable amount of time and effort and dollars in, you know, making our existing customers better, and that in turn leads to referrals and recommendations and so forth. It leads to
raving, you know, fans.
Raving fans, like yep. you definitely are.
Yeah, like me.
So one last really appreciated.
One last thing, I think that really you saved me money because you incorporated the concept and added landing pages to the platform. Mm-hmm. So for our listeners back in the day, and the not so long ago day, your online marketing involved running an ad, say on Facebook, that when the user clicked on it, they went to a landing page. And the landing page is where their email information was collected and, you know, where they were enticed to inquire more about your services. And once they did that, it was integrated with your email client, such as AWeber, and that was the three-tiered platform: ad, landing page, and email provider. Mm-hmm. And you paid for all three. Well, when you guys added landing pages, I was able to stop paying the other guy, even though the other guy is great, and I got nothing bad to say about him. Didn't make any sense to have, you know, to be paying two things. And I think that was a brilliant move. And whenever you can integrate those functions under one platform in one ecosystem, it's going to work better.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, we saw it was something, it was a dominant part of the workflow for so many of our users that, you know, we decided to add it into the platform, and it's been a great, great addition. We have a lot of people that use it, which is super cool to see.
Yeah. So anyway, I could continue to spout the virtues of AWeber, but I'm going to let you get back to running your company.
We'll go build something cool for you.
Yeah, go build something even more interesting. But I mean, actually, just without divulging state secrets, but maybe a little hint, anything super interesting coming on the horizon that you can share? Or do you think in the industry, are you seeing some trends that we as end users in the legal space might be smart to pay attention to?
Yeah, there's definitely, you know, there's kind of the, I don't want to call them geeky, but like more of the things around building your reputation as an email sender, the authentication schemes that are out there for being able to authenticate when you send to Gmail, that Gmail knows that it's you sending, you know, the actual email. you know, things like DKIM, which would be spelled D-K-I-M, is something I recommend that anybody that's sending an email newsletter of, you know, any, if you're sending to more than a couple hundred subscribers, you should probably have DKIM configured on there. We make it really easy. It's just a couple point and clicks, depending on which domain registrar you use. But that's something that's definitely out there. There's something called AMP for email, which is a you might have heard for of AMP for like search ads and some of those.
Yeah,
but there's also an AMP for email, which is it's crazy cool tech, and it's pretty bleeding edge right now. But Google has support for it, and other platforms are building in support for it now as well. But basically what it allows you to do is send a completely dynamic email. So think of maybe not as specific or not a great use case for attorneys, but like think of if you're in the finance industry and you want to send out stock quotes, you could actually send an email that has live stock quotes in it. So regardless of when someone reads the email, they will always know the exact live, you know, stock quote that might be out there.
That's crazy.
At that time. So it turns an email from what is static content, meaning it's the same content from when I sent it, regardless right. if I read it now or I read it a week from now or I read it, you know, 2 months from now. Whereas with AMP, you know, if I'm an e-commerce website, I could send out, and if I have a sale and I run out of that thing that I'm having the sale for, I can change the actual content in the email. So somebody that opens it later will still see something that's available. So some really, really cool tech that can be used in a lot of different ways. If you've interacted and used like Google Docs or Google Sheets, they actually send some of the notifications and the comment emails that you get. If you read them on Gmail, you can actually type in a response directly in the email and hit it and submit it like a form inside the email. That's AMP under the hood. That's how that works.
Great.
So there's some really, really cool tech there.
I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to continuing to expand my understanding. And like I said, I'd like to get beyond using 20-25% of the platform. I'd like to, you know, really take advantage of everything the platform has to offer. So that's my charge for the future. Tom, I can't thank you enough for taking the time to be with us today on The Law Entrepreneur. I normally tell people, you know, how to connect with our guests, but it's pretty easy in this case. Just go to aweber.com and just look around the website. I mean, there's stuff to learn right there, and you'll be better off for it if you're listening.
Absolutely. I'm all, you can find me on all the social channels, and I'm not hard to track down via email either. I'm tom@aweber.com, and you know, I like helping people regardless of where they're at and what their problems are. So,
well, again, thanks ever so much for taking the time to be with me today, Tom. I do appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Neil. It's been fun.
Well, there you have it, boys and girls, another episode of The Law Entrepreneur. I want to thank our sponsors for this episode, our good friends at Ruby. I can't say enough about Ruby. As you know, they've been my virtual receptionist for years now. Couldn't be happier with them. And I really urge all of you, if you need a virtual receptionist, that you give Ruby a chance. Also, Net Profit CFO, as I've mentioned before, Ryan Kimler was a guest on the program some time ago. I liked what he had to say so much, I became a client. And then after I became a client, he became a sponsor. So very happy about that arrangement. If you want to take your understanding of your financials in your law firm to that next step beyond just what your bookkeeper gives you back, give Ryan a call at Net Profit CFO. I don't think you'll be disappointed. If you enjoyed this podcast, do me the great favor of leaving a positive rating and review wherever you listen to your podcast. It really helps with the opportunity for us to get in front of other people. And until next week, I wish you all the best, and we'll see you again here on Law Entrepreneur.